When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
What's your name?
ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
Joe, I'm Jeremy. 713-780-ESPN, HRP, listener line. Text your old Jeremy Jerk Branham over here. I've been called worse.
I'm sure you have. Not by me, though.
At least to your face. Hey, that's cowardly. CJ's best suited in a Russell Wilson Seattle offense. Lots of running the ball, movable pockets, deeper balls, just my opinion. I don't disagree too much. I have a problem with the movable pockets thing. I think he's good there, but I think he's at his best in the pocket. Like, you see him in the pocket picking people apart, throwing these deep posts. You see him throwing these deep outs, these little anticipation. Remember who's the quarterback school dude? O'Reilly or something? Yeah, I can't remember his name. But the guy who does the quarterback school, he breaks down film work and all these dude. He was in love with C.J. Stroud's anticipation and throwing in the pocket his rookie year. The anticipation's mostly gone. Like, you see it every now and then. I mentioned that Nico Collins deep hook, like, on a third and long, got the first down by, like, a 1 or 2 yards, which shouldn't be hard to remember. It was one of Nico Collins' two catches. That was also the play where the defender went into his legs, and they threw the flag, and then they picked it up because they say he got blocked into him. Unbelievable throw from the pocket. Unbelievable throw. So I disagree with that. I think that he excels actually in the pocket. Can he roll out and play action, bootleg, all that? Yes, he's capable of doing that too. I think he's more Joe Burrow. Like, keep him in the pocket, protect him in the pocket, not that they do either. Yes, he can make a play when he needs to, but he can kill you from the pocket. Ryan brought up it seems like he excels late in the half. I do wonder if part of this too is that he's better with tempo. Like, because when Ryan said that, it was like, this is something that I was watching yesterday. Actually, I wrote it down. I think he excels with tempo. And when it, like, a Patriots offense isn't really tempo, because if you're playing with tempo, what are you doing? You're giving the defense the ball, or you're giving the other team the ball back quicker. Your defense isn't off the field. You have a defensive-minded head coach who believes in time of possession. Like, they're not going to use a whole lot of tempo. I think Stroud is a better fit with tempo.
Ohio State, tempo?
Yes.
Was out there a lot. I mean, they were moving up and down the field. Easier, quicker decisions, less options typically on a quicker, you know, moving offense, getting two or three plays in at a time. I agree. It's always when he's been at his best. Like, think back to that Buccaneers game, the Cardinals game his rookie year, where, like, the pressure is on and you're moving up and down the field. You have to get there in time, and that's when he's been at his best. Yep. So when he was at his best last year as well. Like, it's, I feel like they don't understand their quarterback. That's my concern.
I think they're trying to pigeonhole him into something that he's probably not.
Yeah.
And I think he's capable of doing it because he's good, but I think you're putting a governor on him when you do it. Like, you are limiting his potential. Like, Jaden Daniels is a stud, and I'm not going to say that Stroud's better than him, but I think that that offense is magnifying his value and his production more than the Houston Texans have done the last 2 years. And Slowik did it in year one. Like, if we're being completely honest, Slowik did it in year one.
It's like they had training wheels on in a way of really making sure it worked for him, and then he excelled so much, they took him off, but then they haven't gone backwards at all. They haven't gone back to what worked so well for him. And it's not a negative for him. It's just it's what works the best. And I don't know, maybe practice better or harder or not lollygag.
I don't think that was CJ lollygagging, though.
But he's the one who said they didn't practice well enough, and that really bothered me.
I have no problem with that take that you had, but I don't think it's Stroud. I think it's Stroud. I think Stroud was kind of like calling his team to attention by saying that.
I agree. I don't think like he's the problem. I just there are it shouldn't be discussed week one. There should not be things about lollygagging and practicing after week one. I mean, you don't belong in that conversation.
See, this was my take yesterday. The Texans haven't deserved the Texans haven't earned the lollygag in week one. If you're the Eagles coming off a championship, you lollygag because you got a little fat cat syndrome. Totally understand. The Chiefs, who've won multiple Super Bowls, totally understand. Even if you're the Bills and the Ravens, you've earned that a little, at least more than the Texans. Texans have not earned the right to lollygag going into the first game of the year. Lamont asking on Twitter, can you justify right at this moment giving C.J. Stroud $60 million a year?
Absolutely not. Teaser for Swarmcast coming out tomorrow afternoon on YouTube, but Will Kunkel and I discussed this today, actually. As of this moment, I would only want to make him a franchise tag quarterback.
He's not playing on it.
I know he's not. It means he's not Texan because David Mulugeta is going to get him out of town. He's going to replace Matt Stafford
for the
Rams.
Thing. Either you pay him $60 million a year,
or he's gone.
Or he's going to demand a trade.
But as of this moment, no. I do not see a $60 million quarterback, and I understand what it means if you don't do it, but it's like, do you want Trevor Lawrence limiting you, missing Brian Thomas Jr. on wide open throws time after time after time?
Stroud's not that, though.
No, he's not. But, like, it's just you're not seeing the crunch around your roster because it's not just a CJ question. It goes beyond that. It's, are you going to make Will Anderson the highest non-paid quarterback in the NFL, along with Derek Stingley Jr., along with Nico Collins? The Green Bay Packers, if they don't win a Super Bowl this year, they're screwed. They're the first team in NFL history with over $100 million in cap space dedicated to Jordan Love and Micah Parsons. Like, the Texans have roster crunch problems, and they don't have an offensive line. And I would like to see CJ get to that point. I'm not saying I would never do it, but as of this moment, no, he's not a $60 million quarterback. He's not playing like it.
Yeah, he's not, but I'd rather pay him $60 million than the alternative.
And start over, totally. I agree with that, too. It's which side of the sword do you want?
Yeah, unless you just get like a stupid offer. Texture says cliche Kaylee. That's pretty good. Instead of binary Bobby, cliche Kaylee. That's not bad.
He's got to drop some more cliches.
Leader in
though.
The clubhouse. Yeah, he hasn't earned it 100%.
Yeah.
But he's on his way. Well, his offense is cliche.
He hasn't given us a football as football.
No, but no. This isn't a press conference take. This is his play calling take. His play calling is cliche.
I guess.
It's cliche play calling. Like binary Bobby. He could do this and that, but he couldn't do anything in the middle. Cliche Kaylee. I like it, Texter. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Israel, you're in with the Jays. What's up? Israel. Hello, Israel.
Hey. Hello?
Yeah, you're Ryan was being distracted by Brian.
Yeah, that's B-Mac's
fault. That's our bad, Israel. Our bad. We're sorry. What's up?
Yeah. Hey, y'all can say what y'all want to say about him. He's a two-time division winner. He's been only his second year. He's a winner. Y'all be talking about Joe Burrow. He's a loser. Let him make the playoffs.
He went to the Super Bowl.
50. Since CJ been in the league, he hasn't been in the playoffs.
True.
Joe can throw for 10,000. He got to make the playoffs. All this, he's got to make the CJ won back-to-back division, and he's a winner. And yeah. Joe, so far, is a, and since CJ been in there, he's behind you.
Israel,
behind
can I ask?
Make the playoff.
Other than that,
I don't even
questions.
Care if he sold for 100,000. Other than that, good day.
I have a follow-up. Before you hang up. Oh, he hung up!
Yeah, Israel didn't answer questions.
Because it's a stupid take.
Israel didn't answer questions.
No. There's no Baltimore Ravens in this division. There's no Cleveland Browns in this division. This division is the cakest of cakewalks in the NFL.
Yeah,
sure. I'm not trying to take too much away from CJ. This makes me feel like I'm going anti-CJ Stroud in this segment all of a sudden. I'm not. But winning the AFC South cannot be your argument for CJ Stroud because it's a joke. It's the worst division in football, and it basically has been since it was created.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was a gaslight or a straw man. Maybe it was both. Brock Osweiler won this division.
Yeah, like,
what are we doing here? Like, I don't understand why Joe Burrow. I mean, I understand why Joe Burrow got brought up, but I don't understand why Joe Burrow got up. Like, because we're talking about CJ and his limitations. Not, and we're saying it's not even his fault. It's not even his fault that these limitations are there. I feel like we're being kind to CJ Stroud. He went to the Burrow route. He went to the Burrow route talking about like how good CJ can be. Can he be a $60 million quarterback? Should he get $60 million? He went Burrow.
I still
believe that's a straw man. That's a straw man fallacy there.
Yeah, I still believe that there is the rookie year potential that we saw from him. But through year two and game one of year three, he just does not look like the caliber of quarterback that you're expecting. Again, it's mostly the issues that are around him that to me are causing these. But at some point, you have to overcome. And if you can't, then at best, you're in the conversation with guys like Justin Herbert, who have had issues in their career on their rosters.
He looked good last week.
He did look good.
He looked really good last week.
Yeah, but it was in Brazil. It doesn't count.
Why not? Because they were on Carnival?
I don't know. Quentin Johnson looked so good in that game. I can't believe it. I do really like Ladd McConkey, though. He's sick.
Quentin Johnston was going like round 16 in best balls. Like you could get him for basically free.
I mean, he was good last year early, and then it kind of trailed off, but...
No, he was good. He was good. Like, he had 7 touchdown catches last year.
He's got stone hands a little bit.
No, for sure. Like, he's going to drop you one or two. He's going to drop you one or two. But then he makes, like, a ridiculous catch, and then his run-after catch because of his size. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big boy.
He can be like, very good.
I think he is good. I think he's good. I think Quentin Johnston is a good receiver.
He's probably a really good fit next to McConkey.
And Keenan, you get that little trio there? That's solid.
I forgot that Keenan Allen was back on the Chargers.
They threw into him a lot, too.
I know.
He had like 10 targets.
We were a little occupied.
We were. I went back and watched it. I'm trying to watch.
You went back and watched a game that wasn't involving the Texans?
Yeah, I watched the condensed game. I got NFL Plus.
Oh, okay.
So it took me 35 minutes.
Gotcha.
I watched it as I was watching game day in the background. Yeah. I was kicking this idea around. I think I'm going to try to watch every NFL game this year.
What?
The condensed version. The condensed version. I don't think I'm actually going to do it, but I'm going to try to watch as many NFL snaps as I can. Because I think I can watch like 75% of them.
Okay, so a condensed game is 35 minutes.
Hold on a second, though. Think about this. You have the standalone games. So like erase Thursday Night Football, because you can watch that as it happens. So that one's gone. You're already going to watch that anyways.
Monday Night Football.
Sunday noon slate. You're going to watch one game at Sunday noon, so you can wipe away another game. Sunday at 3:15, 3:30, you're going to watch another game.
Okay.
Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games right off the rip that you're watching as they happen. So that leaves you 11 other games.
And you're locked in. If the Texans are playing at 3:25.
You're locked into the Texans.
You're locked into a game at noon. You're not a red zone guy at noon?
My wife's listening, and she told me to get better goals. That's almost why I didn't say it. I didn't want her to hear me saying that.
So you don't watch Red Zone?
I do, but it's not. It's on secondary, no volume.
I went full screen Red Zone today for the first time in a while, and
today?
At noon on Sunday.
That's why I like
the Texans and the Bears weren't on, so I was like, I could focus
see.
On
that's
it.
my hang up. Like if the Texans aren't playing, usually Red Zone becomes the primary.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, you can do it.
No, it can be done. That's why, like, whenever Dan or I probably won't. I probably only watch like half of them. Like, I'm not going to waste my time with Panthers Jaguars. You know, like, I'm not going to go back and watch that.
There's probably a couple games each week that, like, as you look at the box score, you can be like, I can skip.
Yeah,
that one.
It's more of like the sexy matchups. Like, I'm talking a big game now. We're going to get like week four. I'm not going to do any of this. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Dan Orlovsky said that on to like Stephen A. like last year. And Stephen A's like, no way you could do that. I'm like, it's not that hard.
No.
It's not that hard.
The condensed games help quite
for sure.
A bit.
And the condensed games show every single play.
Yeah.
Every single play. It's not like the MLB.com condensed games where they show like some at bats.
Yeah, that one can be troubling. I've done a lot of that this year. And there's been times where I feel like I've missed stuff.
Oh, for sure.
I just record every Astros game and watch
fast
it.
Fast forward through the stuff. Yeah. No, the NFL condensed game is great. It's fantastic. It's really, really good. That's why it's very easy to pull off.
I got Sunday Ticket for the first time this year since it went to YouTube. It was nice to have that back, too.
Sunday Ticket? Well, yeah. I guess you need it because you're
a Bears
fan. Yeah,
excited for my postgame show.
I have zero interest in NFL Sunday Ticket.
It was like $35 this year a month, too, so it's like they did a discount for first-time people, so that was...
That's not bad.
That felt reasonable.
As a fan of a team that is not in the city, you need it.
Yes, for sure. Especially with, you know, all the streaming sites getting whacked.
Well, there's others out there. There's others that exist.
There's also viruses that can attack your computer.
Yeah, that's
true. You want to try to avoid that at all costs.
Here's the question that I have. I'll tease this going into break. Just professional radio here. Is the honeymoon phase over for CJ Stroud? Is it over? 713-780-3776. It is Joe and Jeremy on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, I got to tell you about Walmart. I love me some Walmart. Walmart is fantastic. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Did you know that Walmart has more than a half a billion items online? That's a lot. Find a huge selection you can't find in stores at Walmart.com. Brandon family's been ordering online from Walmart for quite some time, and it's wonderful for someone like me that's trying to watch every single professional football game. It's wonderful for me I don't like to mess with a crowd. I don't want to turn off that game, so we order online with Walmart, and Brandon family loves it. We get all of our groceries without even having to leave the house. That's expensive. Online grocery shopping costs more. I know what you're thinking. That's not true at Walmart. Grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store. And of course, because it's Walmart, you know the prices are low. And what I love about it, they're fast. Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour. Going online at Walmart.com, ordering the groceries I need is faster than me going to the grocery store and getting the groceries I need. They're going to save you time. Use Express Delivery to get all of the eligible things you need from Walmart, from the groceries to the home goods. Maybe you need a new T-shirt. That too. Even prescriptions. Walmart is changing the game. So when it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, or throwing a party, things that I love to do. Think Walmart for all of your grocery needs. Start an order right now at Walmart.com.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Jeremy, 713-780-ESPN. Is the honeymoon phase over for CJ Stroud? The text line just went nuts bringing up this question. I guess it's kind of taboo, maybe. I don't know. I think the overreaction to Sunday is wild. People wanted CJ to tuck it and run, and he did that on Sunday. He had more than a couple passes erased by stupid penalties. The interception wasn't on him, Tyler and Conroe. Some people wanted CJ to run more. I do not. I think CJ Stroud is at his best whenever he's in a clean pocket. Did he do good against the blitz? Yes, he did. Yes, he did, which shows his maturity there. If you can combine that with his excellence in the pocket, look out. Look out. It's why I'm not at all like throwing in the towel on CJ Stroud being one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. There's just a lot of things that need to happen in order for him to get there.
For sure.
A lot of it is the protection. A lot of it is maybe more separation from his skill players, which outside of Nico Collins, I'm not sure how much juice is there. And some of it's CJ Stroud, like trusting that again, being a beat quicker, waiting an extra beat on certain things. I think it's close. I really do. I think he still has extreme talent that other guys just do not have. But he's not playing at that level right now for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, I don't think the honeymoon phase is over for everyone, but I think you're starting to see it slowly deteriorate a little bit. And I'm not even sure it's CJ. I think it's – we got a couple texts earlier about Nick Caserio. I think there are larger issues and questions about the Texans organization that people are kind of over at this point. The offensive coordinator changed, the offensive line not being fixed, and then now some of that's trickling down to CJ Stroud. So I think it's more – a big picture thing than people being out on CJ at this point.
I would agree to that, but I do think that there is more criticism now for Stroud. Like the first year, what's that?
It's deserved.
Right. But that's kind of a side point to the honeymoon phase. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, rookie quarterback playing at a high level leads the NFL in yards passing per game or whatever. Like that's going to buy you some time. Last year, okay, the scapegoat is Binary Bobby, is this offensive line that can't protect, still can't protect all that well, one game through. But not assigning any blame to C.J. Stroud, like, that time is gone. Like, that phase is gone. I do think the honeymoon phase is over. I was listening to something on I wasn't listening to it live, but I saw people tweeting it, this commentary on the Twitter spaces, where, like, guy went nuts on C.J. Stroud. It was hilarious. It was very, very funny. It's kind of what created this thought. But I do think the honeymoon phase is over. Like, I do think that more of the criticism for a failing offense will be given to C.J. Stroud, especially now that you have a second offensive coordinator. Because DeMeco was talking today, like, you know, we were late out of the huddle, we were late to the huddle, we were getting to the line late in the play clock. It really hindered us. It prevented us from being able to do things. That was an issue last year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had two different offensive coordinators, you're still having the same issue. What is the constant here? So I think that the second OC, if the offense continues to be stagnant, sure, Kaylee will get a lot of criticism, cliche Kaylee, but so will Stroud. That's why I do think the honeymoon phase is over.
Yeah, I mean, when you fire Bobby Slowick, the blame has to go somewhere, and we don't know enough about Nick Kaylee, where a lot of people will blame him, first-time play caller, but the other guys are going to get attention, and I think each fan is going to be a little different on who they approach and who they attack the most if they play consistently like they did on Sunday. There's going to be a group that looks at Nick Caserio as the problem. There's going to be a group that looks at CJ. And there's going to start to be a group at some point that looks at DeMeco. And say, like someone, the blame has to go somewhere from the fan perspective when the team starts to lose. And from our perspective, too. Like, you have to, if it's not working, what's the next thing that you can change after you fired the OC? In a lot of ways, like, it was, like, Bobby Slowick was a shield for CJ Stroud last year. Now that he's gone, well, someone's got to get blamed for it.
Mm-hmm. When you have gone a long time without a good quarterback, when you find a good one like Stroud, the honeymoon phase never ends. And for Watson, like, we were saying the same things about Watson that we're saying about Stroud. Like, he's going to win an MVP. He's going to lead you to the promised land. He's going to be great. And then his agent, same agent as C.J. Stroud, requested a trade, and then we found out a bunch of other stuff that made it very easy to trade him. Israel is a complete idiot. CJ hasn't won anything compared to Burrow. I bet Israel hangs a fourth-place ribbon from middle school on his little mantle. Joe Burrow carried Cincy with no O-line or defense. Kristen Humble. And he rode an elevator with me. I blame Amber Rose, says the texter. I mean, CJ was getting as far away as possible. He went around a different car to make everybody know that he wasn't with Amber Rose. Israel is correct. CJ is a winner. The Texans are letting him down with that offensive line. Simple as that. Did Joe just use the Browns to bolster that division?
Has anyone watched them? Like, they have one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah. They were in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We kind of forget that. I think they might be better than we all think.
Yeah.
I think it might be.
They're a good football team. They're not a great football team. There might not be a playoff team this year with their quarterback situation, but they have arguably the best player in the NFL on their team.
Kind of like Bobby, Kaylee. the GM is forcing CJ to play an offense that worked the best and was built around Brady. I do wonder if they're pigeonholing him a bit. Who is the better quarterback in college, J.J. McCarthy or CJ Carr? That's messed up. That's a stray at the offensive line.
CJ. J.J. McCarthy didn't do anything in college.
What an addy.
He handed the ball off a bunch.
His team knew what the plays were going to be.
Yeah, no big deal.
It happens a lot. Outside of maybe Josh Allen, CJ throws the best deep out route in the league. I agree with that. Go watch the one to Xavier Hutchinson late in the first half. That was nasty. He's starting to look more like Mitch Trubisky than Joe Burrow.
I did not say that. Just for the record.
Mitch Trubisky's a Pro Bowl quarterback.
He's also a third-string quarterback now in the NFL, I think.
The lack of protection is breaking him mentally. Didn't have these issues at Ohio State. Didn't know any better rookie year. And then when he started getting popped, he started breaking down mentally. I don't know if I would call it breaking down, but I do think it has impacted him without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, it's made it harder. It's made everything harder for him. And I don't know how you fix it. Like, Joe Burrow has been able to deal with it without having an offensive line. I mean, he was getting, like, slaughtered by Myles Garrett this weekend and just hangs tough, but
yeah.
It's you got to believe in your guys, and I don't know if CJ believes that.
Part of it, too, is he thinks he can play make, and he can. He can, but that's part of it, too. It's like, if I get pressured, I'm going to be quick to play make. What are you doing if you're playmaking? Mm-hmm. You're leaving the pocket, and I think he's a good playmaker. I think he's better in the pocket. I think he's just traumatized from getting his butt kicked with no offensive line. Yes. Why don't the Texans run more screens? Agreed. Maybe CJ is bad. I can't get there.
No, not even close to that.
I can't get to him being bad. A third-year coach, third-year quarterback that won back-to-back division titles. The Texans are happy making second round. Yeah, but is that good? Like, are you happy with them making only the second round? CJ did not commit 11 penalties. The discipline of the team is awful. It's on the coaching. I think it's a fair point.
I don't know. I mean, do you think it's going to look like this next week? Or are you confident it's going to look better?
In terms of penalties or offense?
All of it.
Well, I don't think Tampa Bay's defense is as good as the Rams. So I think, and you're at home versus on the road. It's week, your second real game versus week one. If they're not better, I think I'm going to come on these airwaves next Tuesday, because they play Monday night, doubleheader next Monday night. I'll come on these airwaves a week from today and bash them. Because if you don't look better with an inferior defensive team in front of you, mm-hmm. playing at home, having a week of gameplay going into this one, having an extra day, learning from your mistakes, if they look equal offensively than what they look like against the Rams, I'm going to have serious concern about this offense.
Yeah, and I think that's it's totally fair to feel that way. The penalty part of it, D'Amico hasn't had disciplined teams, I think is a fair way to put it. They've had a penalty problem. It's not all on Tunsil, kind of like Slowick, took the brunt of the blame for penalties. But there have been penalty issues on this team, and some of it's good. Like, I like the aggressiveness. I can deal with Aziz getting a penalty, or if Lassiter or Stingley or someone like that have a penalty, because I like the aggressiveness on defense. But the operational stuff that's still going on with this team, that has to get better quickly, because it just sets you back. It just makes life so much more difficult for yourself. And that's what the Texans are constantly doing with this roster, with the penalties. They're making life hard.
I believe everything you said. I think it's a good take. Like, I am
wow.
I'm okay getting some penalties whenever you're playing a physical style. Sorry, I like a physical football team. And if there is correlation there. There's correlation to being a physical defense to having penalties. I rather have that than the alternative. I rather have a physical defense that's in the top half of penalties than a soft defense that's in the bottom half of penalties. I will take that trade-off every single day.
Mm-hmm.
The penalties that tick you off, okay, we're delay a game. There's movement from your left guard because you're not on the same page. Your tight end is jumping. Those are you're encroaching when everybody knows that it's a hard count from the opposing team. Those are the ones that drive me up the wall. If you get a penalty here and there because you're being really physical, which I think is a prerequisite to being a good defense, I have no problem with that at all.
I wish the offense could get penalties that we were okay with. Yeah. I wish there was a way on offense to be like, that's okay. But instead, every penalty on offense is a bad.
Little hands in the face.
Yeah, like, that'd be fine.
You know, rode up on him because he had such a stiff block on his upper chest.
If Titus at right guard or right tackle, wherever he's playing, you know, depending on the week, if he had hands to the face with Jared Verse, and it's okay, I guess. It's still not great.
Texture says Tampa Bay money line is the lock of the week.
Still Texans 2.5. I'm surprised.
I was looking at Brandon Lytics on that a little bit earlier. What did I do? I had the Texans beating Tampa by 3 points. Do you know what I'm doing, by the way? Did you hear what I did in the preseason?
You bet every game.
The preseason, I bet every underdog to win on the money line.
Okay.
I was like one game above 500, but I won 12 units because, again, you're getting odds in every single one of these. So I'm betting the under on every single NFL game until I have a losing week. I calculated the winnings on this week. I went 12-4, playing the under on every single game, and I forgot how many units I was up. I think it was like 8 units.
Interesting.
Maybe 6. Somewhere between 6 to 8 units.
So you want no points.
I think it was 7, actually, right in the middle. I have a theory that early in the year, the defense is ahead of the offense. What do we know that gamblers do? Most gamblers will play the over more than the under.
That's more fun.
So what is that naturally going to do to the line? It's naturally going to move the line up. So I think that early in the season especially, I think that the total is mispriced.
Yeah, I mean, like, the total right now is 42.5 for Monday night, and the Buccaneers and the Texans scored a combined 32 points.
Yeah, see, I like
one of the season.
If you gunned to my head, I would actually play the over there, but I'm committed to my theory.
You have to.
Committed to my theory until I have a losing week, and then I'll come off.
And then you're going to flip it.
Now, then I'll just go based on what I think, and that's a dangerous place to be.
It's better to have just a plan and stick to it.
Yes.
Like, just whatever it's going to be. Like, underdogs, overs, unders, whatever. Like, pick it, stick to it.
I think it's mispriced early.
In the tournament, always fade the underdog or the favorites early, and then it flips to me like halfway through.
There you go.
But you got to have a plan, stick to it.
Until you get punched in the face. The great Mike Tyson once said that, although there's no proof of him actually saying that. There's a theory.
Really?
There's a theory out there that he didn't actually say it.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Like, you can't find it other than people like saying he said it. You can never actually see. You can actually see Tyson say it ever. There's zero video audio footage of Mike Tyson saying that.
Interesting.
Yeah. The more you know.
There are things out there that are like that. You know.
Like what?
I don't know. Wilt, 100-point game.
Didn't that actually happen though?
There's no video. There's video around that time of different.
I think there was a written scorebook though.
You never know. Conspiracy theory. It's not real.
What do you say about the written scorebook?
That person was in on it.
What was the gain?
I don't know.
You're just talking out of your...
I don't believe it, but there are people who don't believe it because there's no video of it.
All right. Do you believe that the Astros can win the World Series this year? 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Football is back. We love it. We're heading into week two. College heading into week three. And Underdog is the place to make picks and win money all season long. Playing an Underdog so easy. Pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, yards, interceptions, and more. Also new to Underdog, you can pick teams. Yeah, that's right. You can pick which team is going to win. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. Looking ahead to some football matchups, but I'm looking at this baseball matchup, actually. The Astros open a series against the Blue Jays. Here's what I like. And look, if you think I know ball, you can follow. If you don't think I know ball, well, maybe you could go the other way. I like Astros to win. Shane Bieber lower than 5.5 strikeouts. Luis Garcia higher than 4.5 strikeouts. Yordan Alvarez, higher than 1.5 total bases. Jose Altuve, I know. Higher 1.5 hits, runs, plus RBIs. Also, George Springer, I think he's going to be a thorn in the side. Higher than 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs. So if you like him, get on Underdog. Play. You hate him, get on Underdog and play the other side. So much fun to be had. So much money to win. Also with Underdog, you have the originals. You have the drafts. You have the ladders. You have the streaks. So download the app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, KILLERB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Joe George, Jeremy Branham. Can the Astros win it all? Can the Astros win the World Series? Because things have... our podcast, you can check it out on ESPN Houston's YouTube. Inside the juice box?
Ice.
Inside the ice
box. Ice box.
You can catch it on our YouTube. We record it late in every week. It always posts... When does it post?
Friday mornings.
And then it airs Friday, live on the on ESPN Ice Invite.
It does do that.
Seven,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Seven?
Yep.
Is this an inappropriate time to ask you why not six?
Because I'm on at six.
You are. Oh, okay. You weren't on at six last Friday, but that's because we had the listener party.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
I see. Okay. Yes. That's such a good answer. That's a really good answer.
I usually have good answers. Come on.
With the O-line in shambles and one of the main strengths of Tom Brady being their – oh, Tampa Bay, not Brady. One of the main strengths of Tampa Bay being their pass rush, the injuries in our secondary, how can you see the Texans winning by three? I believe, baby. Bet Texans first half. Go look last year. Hit a lot. Bet which side, though? Oh, bet Texans first half. Yeah, but that was because of Slowick. Like, Slowick – here's the thing on Slowick. He actually had decent game plans. He had a terrible time adjusting. So, like, is the bet Texans first half a Slowick thing? Or is it a Texans thing? Although it would have hit against L.A. this weekend.
Yeah, so it works so far.
Huh.
So is it first half? Monday? I'll be there.
You're going to the game?
Yeah, we have season tickets.
Oh, that's right. Papa George.
Yeah.
Got season tickets. I've noticed that y'all have never invited me.
There's only two spots. But we're going to try to negotiate.
How's y'all's relationship?
Good. You can go with him.
That's fine. Anything you want. I enjoyed the time that I got to spend with Papa George.
I can only go to like 3 or 4 games this year, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Meh. 713-780-ESPN. Do you believe the Astros can win the World Series, Joe?
That's a loaded question.
Mm-hmm. I like to ask loaded questions.
My answer right now, I don't know why, but my answer is still yes. Hunter, Fromber, I still believe in Fromber, even though it's a mental issues sometimes. But even though Altuve's been struggling, when you look at that lineup, I still see Correa, Altuve, Alvarez, Peña, Jake Myers has had a good year. I still like Christian Walker and Yiner Diaz. And I'm not scared of the rest of the American League. I think the World Series is wide open this year. I think pretty much everyone that's going to make the playoffs, there's an argument for them to or not to make the World Series in either league, honestly. The only team that feels like a surefire thing is the Dodgers, and they're still only a game up in their division over the Padres. I mean, they don't even have – they have the fourth best record in the National League right now. So I think it's wide open. But, yeah, I think because of the starters, I still think they can.
Yeah. See, the struggle that I have here is if I'm being too much of a homer. Because I believe they can still win it all. Like, the way that they're currently playing – ain't gonna get it done. That ain't gonna crack. Mm-hmm. Like that, they have to play better than they're currently playing. But is it feasible that over the course of the next 3 weeks, or just in 3 weeks, that the Astros qualify and they flip a switch and they flip a switch and Hunter Brown continues to dominate? Hunter Brown was better the other, or Framber Valdez was better than the other day. People don't want to acknowledge it because everybody's mad at Framber Valdez, and he still got roughed up a little bit in that sixth inning and lost the game. He was much better. Like, do you get a better behave from Valdez? Was him, the whole crossing up incident, was that something that's actually going to get him going? I think it could. He certainly was calmer in his next start. That was the calmest I've ever seen from Valdez. So, like, if those guys are right and you flip that switch, that's a tough 1-2 to beat. Now, the hater thing, like, if he's not available and like, the bullpen's not fantastic, it's without Souza, it's without Ort, like, that's going to be hard to get a bunch of leverage outs with that bullpen. So that's a little, like, harder to imagine. I feel like it's a little bit less feasible. The offense on paper is good. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that you don't win games on paper. But the offense on paper has a chance to be good, and they've shown moments of being good. Like, you're going out there with Peña, who's having a career year, Yordan, who's been unbelievable since he's come back, Correa's a professional hitter that's had clutch moments, same thing with Altuve, who's been in a slump, Walker's had moments, Yiner's had moments, Caratini's had moments, Myers had the best season, Jesus Sanchez can hit the ball 480 feet. I still think it's in the realm of possibility. But they're going to have to flip a switch between now and then because the way they're currently playing is not good enough to win the World Series.
And I think the reality is, too, is like, could they win the World Series? I think the answer is yes. But could they do exactly what they did last year, and that's lose the first two games of the playoffs and go home? Yeah. We've talked about this a lot on our show, our podcast. Like, this season feels like it's teetering. And I think going home in the first round in a three-game series or at least getting to the ALCS really feels like, to me, where this is going to go. I can't envision a world in which it ends up somewhere in the middle just because it feels like this team is one of these two extremes. They have everything to make a run, but they have everything that can go wrong to be done in 2 days.
Yeah. It's a wide range. It's always a wide range in baseball.
But this feels different.
But it feels like it's a wider range with the Astros. I agree.
Yeah. Because before, going to last year, it's like you knew they were going to the ALCS. It was a guarantee every single year. And last year was a rude awakening. And this year feels like it's this giant range of what they can do. Now, if they go home in two games,
it's like Adam Everett range.
I think it changes the calibration for how we have to feel about this team going into next season. But yeah, I'm fascinated. I think it depends a lot on matchups and who you're going to get. And my guess right now is they're going to play the Rangers in Houston for two games.
I don't love that, I guess. I don't know if I love that.
I don't either.
Their roster's not great right now because of the injuries.
Yeah, but Corey Seager's going to be back next week when they play the Astros.
And they have DeGrom. Astros have the 12th. It depends on the book. Roughly the 12th best odds to win the World Series. Plus 1,300 on one book, plus 1,600 on another book, plus 1,200 on another book. I like going to Vegas Insider because it gives you like all the different books. 12th. 12th best odds to win it all. 713-780-3776 out to the HRMP listener line. Philip, what's up?
Hey, guys. So thinking about the Astros' chances, I think if they have reasonable health, meaning, like, let's say everybody's back to Paredes, I still think they've got, if you think of OPS plus, you know, being average or better in terms of OPS plus, I think 7 of the 9 spots in the lineup are going to be above average, which is going to be really hard for another team to be better than that. So they have some depth in the lineup when they're all in the lineup. I like how Javier's kind of looked coming back. I'm cautiously optimistic that he's kind of close to back to where he was. So I think Javier slots in at 3 and then either Jason Alexander or Garcia at 4. I don't think it's a starting pitching. What I'm worried about is the bullpen. I feel like they've relied on it so much through the year that they maybe have burned some guys out that they're relying on. I wonder how much of that's on Abreu more so than just pitching the ninth, but just the innings they put on him for so many years now that maybe there's some fatigue there this year at the end, because a lot of the starters that they've been having to rely on are not pitching deep into games. And they've had a lot of guys in and out of the bullpen through the year. And so that's my primary concern. And maybe that's alleviated by the idea that, okay, maybe you get Eric Geddy in the bullpen. Maybe you get, you know, Alexander or Garcia in the bullpen. And maybe that helps with some depth there, eating up some innings so you're not having to rely on guys as much. So I'm cautiously optimistic that if you had to pick an area to be a weakness, that would be where you'd pick, because you get a little bit of reinforcement out of the starters. But I mean, it's like anything. It's like baseball. When you have a 3-game series, the worst team in the league can beat the best team in a 3-game series. And so, yeah, it's you hate to leave it to 3 games. I mean, so that's why, unfortunately, they're probably going to be stuck in that situation just due from injuries. I don't think they'll be able to catch up to the other team. So, but I'm optimistic from that standpoint. I just want to see them get bodies back, get healthy, and just, you know, best effort and let the chips fall where they may.
Appreciate it, Philip. No, I think the bullpen to me is where I'm most concerned as well.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. The injuries have been brutal, and they just keep happening.
Yeah, the Eric Geddy one's the one that really stings.
Yep.
Like that one stings a lot.
But Souza, Ort, Hader, I mean, it's been piling up at this point for the guys getting hurt again as you think they're starting to come back. And what I think Ari Alexander said, JP France.
Yeah, I got called up. They made it official.
It's official now?
Logan Van Wy gets it down.
And to one of the points that, you know, made there is they've got a shot still to make a run at the top seed in the American League or a top 2 seed. It starts this series here. You're 4.5 games back right now of the Blue Jays. If you were to go out there and sweep the Blue Jays, seems like a big ask.
It does.
But, like, you could, in theory, be 1.5 games back of the 1 or 2 seed in the American League by Wednesday.
If you have aspirations for a bye, it is must sweep.
Yeah.
Two of three is not enough.
No, it doesn't cut.
You'd have to sweep them. And that is far-fetched. 713-780-ESPN. Can the Astros win the World Series? Pete, we'll get it to you on the other side. You'll be first up. Joe and Jeremy on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, listen up. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer you can trust. They're transparent. They're not going to hassle you with pricing. That's why they're great. That's why they've been serving the Houston area for 50 years. They're a pillar in this community. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and these families just keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. Family feel, friendly atmosphere, great people, which leads to an outstanding culture. They have the best culture. It is great. And you notice it from the moment you walk in. So get a new vehicle from Monument Chevrolet. Maybe the 2025 Silverado 1500. They're the vehicle of the week, which means that you can get a fantastic deal on the brand new 2025 Silverado 1500 because the 26 Silverado is out. So they're trying to push all the 25s out the door. So if you're looking for a Silverado, get the 2025 and get a great deal. The 2025 models are what the smart shoppers are looking for right now. And we know that you're smart. You listen to us. Right now, Monument Chevrolet is offering deep discounts plus 2.9% financing for 72 months on the 2025 Silverado 1500. But you didn't think interest rates came that low anymore. That's not true at Monument Chevrolet. While everyone else is rushing to get the latest model, you can save big by purchasing a new 2025 Silverado 1500. So get a fair deal. like maybe the 2025 Silverado 1500. An easy deal. Whatever you're in the market for, no tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Now is the time to upgrade your ride. Visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com, monumentchevrolet.com. Check out their full inventory or just go visit them in person. 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5. Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions. Stand by. Cue announcer.
The Del Olalea Show. Weekday mornings from 10 to noon.
Or trash them with Joe and Jeremy. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to that at 5 o'clock. So get those cashes and trashes in. 713-780-3776. But can the Astros win the World Series outside of a fluke 23 Arlington Rangers running the World Series? This team is not a World Series team. Okay. We'll see. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Pete, you're in the hive. What's up?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I'm thinking the way they've played the last 10, 15 games is hard to say that they're World Series contenders, but at the same time, they still have some pieces left from those championship years. It can be done. They've proven to do it time and time again. So some of these guys that return from the IL, if they can return to form pretty quickly and get this lineup set and offense start producing, and get the pitching in order, you know, again, there's always that possibility. But I think as far as playoffs and can they or can they not, playoffs start tonight. From here on out, what's left on the schedule has to be treated like playoffs. Every game is going to be very important to where they want to go. So if they want to avoid that wild card round, which I would want to, playoffs start tonight. Anyway, you guys have a good evening.
Bang, bang.
What do you think is more likely right
now? Let's go. I'm ready to run through that fake brick wall.
The Astros more likely to win the World Series or miss the playoffs right now?
More unlikely?
Or more likely. Which one's more likely to happen?
I need to know which one.
To win the World Series or miss the playoffs?
I think it's more likely they win the World Series.
I think so,
too. But maybe I'm being a homer.
No, I think I'm not a homer. So I think the Rangers are going to pass the Mariners.
You're kind of a homer.
At times. I think the Mariners will get passed by the Rangers, but I don't think the Mariners will be able to keep the Astros out of the playoffs. You need the Royals to really get going again, which they haven't done. So I think the Astros are going to make the playoffs. I'm not really concerned about that.
I mean, 2 for Seattle, 3.5 for Texas. Like, it's not inconceivable that both of them jump you.
Yeah, and the Mariners have won their last 3 games, so but both teams are 4-6 in their last 10, the Astros and the Mariners. Like, they're just...
They play one series against each other, I believe.
I think that's it, yeah. I mean, it really...
They play 3 games, and then you play 3 against Seattle and Texas.
Mm.
No, wait, they're done. Seattle and Texas don't play again.
Yeah, so you play, I mean, September 15th, so starting Monday next week through Sunday, you play the Rangers and the Mariners in back-to-back series. Next week's going to be intense.
Yeah. Seattle comes to you. They also play at Kansas City, like if Kansas City's a factor. So, like, that could be kind of a low-key underrated series with stakes. Then they're home for Colorado. That stinks. But then they're home for the Dodgers. What does that division race look like? I haven't looked at that race
in a while. The Padres are a game back.
So the Dodgers need to be in a race.
Yeah.
You don't want them, like, setting up their pitching.
No, you do not. You need them to be wanting to compete at the end of the season for the one seed at that point.
Rangers.
Or a seed.
Rangers beat the Brewers last night. Shut out the Brewers. Yeah. But the Rangers got the Brewers. They go to the Mets. That's not a layup. At you. Home for Miami, meh. Home for the Twins, meh. At Cleveland, meh. That's pretty easy last 9.
It's not the hardest schedule in the world, obviously. So the Rangers, I think, are gonna pass the Mariners. That I feel pretty confident in.
Really?
Yeah. I don't believe in Seattle. I can't do it.
Fair enough.
They've had a chance to put to end the Astros season, basically.
They could. They could have buried them.
Yeah. And they haven't even made it close to that at any point. I mean, the Astros have not been playing good baseball. Or when they've been good, it's not consistently good. And the Mariners just haven't been able to catch them. So I think the Rangers are honestly the bigger threat. I think it's better for the Astros if that doesn't happen.
Baseball is about who gets hot at the right time. Remember the Reds sweeping the A's in 91? Joe wasn't born yet.
I was not.
Ryan was not born yet. I was not born yet in 91.
That's a lie.
That is a lie. You caught
We're
me.
We're honest. Come on.
I was six. Absolutely, bats can get hot. Pitching rotation shortens. They got a shot. Too inconsistent offensively. Currently, they are too inconsistent offensively. But can they flip the switch? Can they turn it on? I think the Astros are talented enough to win it all, but they really need Altuve to start hitting again. Vax, he's hitting cleanup today. Also, the bullpen without Hader worries me, Corey. What are the percentage chances you're putting on Hader pitching again in the playoffs?
Two.
That low?
I just don't know.
Dan Harrington. He said that there's always a 10% chance somebody's bluffing. So I'm going to put 10% chance that Hader pitches.
What was the update today?
I didn't see one on Hader.
Yeah, it's in here. Josh Hader is rehabbing in Houston, currently not throwing.
It's still 3 weeks in the regular season. There's still a little bit of time there.
If Hader comes back, it probably means the Astros are in the ALCS. I don't think he's back for the wild card. I don't know if the timeline there feels right. We don't know a lot. He's not throwing.
The bad news. Go on, my bad.
But no, I was just saying. It just feels like the longer you can give him, the better it is.
Well, yeah, that's how injuries work.
Yep. Except for the Astros.
Usually it works that way. Usually the longer you get to rehab is usually better than
it's been a long day.
The shorter. Brandon Walter is going to need elbow surgery. That was like the low key, like no one's thinking about him. Yeah. Like that makes me sad. You know, like that guy's probably in your rotation next year with how good he's been. Mm-hmm. The Astros have so many number four, number five starters in their organization.
We talked about this last week on the podcast, but we even forgot about Wisniewski.
Yeah.
He's still.
I know. He's like, Ronel Blanco.
He's still out there. I forgot about Blanco.
They have 28 number four and number five starting pitchers. It's so weird. Is this inside the ice box or does Brandon get top billing?
You keep saying Joe first, so that's your call today.
Well, it's alphabetical. Wink. I knew what I was doing there. There's another one I wanted to read here. Here it is. I believe the Astros need to win 10 of the last 18 to win the division. Yeah, I think it's fair. But I agree with Pete. Playoffs start tonight. 713-780-ESPN. Let's cash them or trash them with Joe and Jeremy. What are we cashing? What are we trashing? 713-780-3776. It is Joe and Jeremy on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.